We're taking our Bibles this morning and turning to the Epistle of Joy once again, the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, as we've noted, 104 verses in the book of Philippians, makes it a book that many believers have memorized 18 times within the book of Philippians. You're going to read the word joy or rejoicing, which makes this a book that's always been appreciated by believers. And if there was ever a time that the book of Philippians was needful to us, it's the times in which we're living now. The book of Philippians teaches us how to have a journey of joy, even in the midst of the most adverse circumstances. And we ought to be reminded that Paul is not writing the book of Philippians from some utopian island of peace where he's dipping his feet into the cool water of tranquility. The Apostle Paul is writing the book of Philippians from a Roman jail, awaiting a hearing before a psychopathic emperor by the name of Nero. And yet he writes with words filled with joy in Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He's setting an example for all of us to understand that the Christian's joy is not circumstantial. The fact is, our circumstances may be dire, but the Christian does not depend upon circumstances for joy. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the one who promises never to leave us and never to forsake us. We rejoice in the one who promises to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our focus today, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look specifically at verses 8 and 9. So follow along as I read Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 this morning. We're going to look at the verses that are a prelude to that. But we discover, beginning in verse 8, that the Word of God says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report rather, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I want us to discover this morning from God's Word what it means to find peace in serenity, or stability rather. Peace and stability. Philippians chapter 4, specifically verses 8 and 9. Let's pray together, please, as we look into God's Word. Father, this morning, I pray that you would help this message to help someone. Someone who's struggling. Someone whose knees have become weary and whose arms are hanging down. Lord, I pray that you lift them up this morning, help them to be able to see through the microscope of your Word the need of their heart, and apply your Word today so as that spiritual heart surgery may be done and stability may be afforded. Lord, we realize we live in unstable times, and so we realize that we stand out the more for your glory when we stand stably and having done all to stand, having our loins girt about with truth. And so this morning, oh God, I pray that you'd fortify your people with the truth, and that you'd challenge someone who's come into this place this morning who as yet does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would come to know the one who is altogether lovely, that they would be drawn to the Savior today, and that there'd be joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Now, Lord, take your word. We depend upon you to do the work in our hearts. Take your word. Melt our hearts by it. Help us to look now in the mirror of your word, and by that mirror be changed. Oh, God, help us not to go out from this place unchanged, but rather walking with you with pure hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. ABC began broadcasting America's Funniest Home Videos way back in 1989. It's in its 32nd season. It's broadcasted over 720 episodes. And typically, when people watch America's Funniest Home Videos, they're watching with about 5.5 million fellow citizens. How many times do people watch others falling on skis or roller skates, falling off high heels or off porches, falling off diving boards or bikes or motorcycles? It seems like every time they watch someone falling, there's another laugh that's been generated. Hey, it might be funny to watch other people fall, especially if they're not hurt physically. But when it comes to spiritual falls are never funny. Instability is not a laughing matter when it comes to our spiritual lives and our spiritual walks. The Scriptures provide repeated encouragement for the people of God to be stable. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Galatians 5 and verse 1 challenges us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Ephesians 6 verses 13 and 14, familiar words, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8 declares, "For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 contains this prayer, "The God of all grace, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God wants you and God wants me to know the joy of stability. Philippians chapter 4, there's a compelling command in verse 1. I want to zero in on that command this morning. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown," here it comes, "so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So stand fast in the Lord. All of us are involved in a battle daily against the world and the flesh and the devil. So, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. All of us will be tempted to complain, tempted to fall, tempted to quit. So, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved brethren. No one wants to fall. And very often we ask ourselves in our spiritual walk, well, how can I stand? I want you to notice in verse 1 that this command begins with a little word, so, stand fast. That little adverb, so, is important. The Spirit of God is saying, after this manner, stand fast in the Lord. Or in this way, here's how you stand fast in the Lord. You see, the little word so there with that command in verse 1, that little word so introduces us to God's provision for our stability in our spiritual journey. So, it stands at the front of a series of commands, that leads us to know the joy of stability in our spiritual walk. Here we discover a pathway that ends with a promise of peace. Verse 7 says that those who are walking along this pathway will enjoy the peace of God that passes understanding. And verse 9 reminds us that those things that we have learned and heard and seen, if we do them, the God of peace will be with us. So beginning in Philippians 4 and verse 1, the Spirit of God is pointing to a pathway. He's pointing to a pathway that will lead the believer to a place of peace. Do you covet in your heart to live in that place of peace? Do you desire to be a spiritually stable saint? Well, there's a progression here. There are steps here, if you will. You'll note that in verse 8, the verse begins with the word finally. From verse 1 to verse 8, there are steps along the pathway that bring to us peace, an important progression. And it may surprise you, but I trust it won't. I trust it will challenge you to discover that stability along the pathway of peace begins with respect. Respect for one another. In verse 2, Paul is beseeching Euodias and beseeching Syntyche that they be of the same mind. He encourages in verse 3 some true yoke fellow, someone in the church at Philippi, to help these women. Because you'll note in verse 3, at the end of the verse, their names, Euodias and Syntyche, are in the book of life. And yet, in verse 2, they were at odds with one another. Their names are mutually in the book of life. We laugh about the names Yodius and Syntyche. Many call them Odorous and Stinky. But I can guarantee you in the book of life, their names have been spelled correctly. And there was a schism in the church between these two ladies, and that schism was no laughing matter. In fact, it was so important that the Spirit of God encourages the Apostle Paul to deal with it in this letter that is eternal. Because the lack of unity between these two women will put it at risk, the peace of the congregation, and will risk the stability of the saints who are gathered together in Philippi. You see, discord in the church puts the stability of every church member at risk. When I preached on these first three verses of Philippians chapter 4, I must have been very earnest in my preaching about it just a few weeks ago. After the service, someone came up to me in the foyer and said, "Pastor Phelps, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "Do we have a problem with some people in our church family not getting along?" And I said, "Not that I know of. But it's often the things that the pastor doesn't know that will hurt him and hurt one another." And so this passage is speaking to all of us because the Lord speaks to us and says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another." Our respect for one another begins by a common understanding that our names are found in the book of life. And when we lose that, a basket is placed over the light that the Lord would have our church to enjoy in our community. I spoke with a man a number of years ago. His wife had died of cancer just a couple of years before our conversation. He said something that moved me profoundly. He said, "Pastor Phelps, our church is going through a schism right now. There's no unity in the body." And then he said this with a tear in his eye. He said, "I want to tell you something. What we're going through at church has been harder for me than losing my wife." I thought, wow, how could he say that? How's that possible? And then I thought about it. This man knew that he'd see his wife once again in glory. He has the promise of an eternal reunion. But his spiritual stability was under attack because of the disunity within the flock. And so, brothers and sisters, let me implore you to realize that when there's a tension between any of us, that tension is taken very seriously because it destabilizes not only ourselves but our fellow believers. So, stand fast in the Lord. How do we do that? Well, I entreat thee, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, with other my fellow laborers. Help them how? Help them that they be of the same mind, verse 2, in the Lord. But I want you to notice with me also that stability along the pathway of peace continues with rejoicing. Philippians 4 and verse 4, to many is the theme of this book. To many is a verse most precious. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And we understand that the Christian's joy is not affected by the Christian's circumstances. After all, we're rejoicing not in circumstances, but we're rejoicing in the Lord, and the Lord that we rejoice in never changes. So stand fast, rejoicing in the Lord. Many times my wife and I have gone through challenges together. And often we've paused in the middle of our challenges to very sincerely say, "I'm so thankful that God gave you to me, because I don't know how I could get through this challenge without you right now." That's the blessing of marital oneness. But the Bible tells us there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the difficulties that we face, and surely we'll face difficulties, should draw us closer in communion with our God. And so I ask, is your stability, your spiritual stability, under attack? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Do you feel like your feet are about to slip out from under you? There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. We discover in this passage that the pathway to spiritual stability begins with respect. Our names are in the book of life. It continues with rejoicing. And then discover with me also that stability along the pathway of peace is for those who are reasonable. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, Barclay notes that the word that's translated here in verse 5 is moderation, is one of the most untranslatable words in the entire Greek New Testament. Wycliffe translated it into English with the word patience. Let your patience be made known unto all men. Tyndale translated it with the word softness. Let your softness be made known unto all men. Moffat used the word forbearance. The Geneva Bible said, your patient mind, let it be made known. The New English Bible uses the word magnanimity. So I'm going to use the words sweet reasonableness. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known unto all men. That's the ability to understand when we need to be strict in our implementation of the law and when we need to be soft in showing mercy. Having a sweet reasonableness. Because stability along the pathway of peace can be lost when we strictly hold to an unreasonable standard and justice pushes away mercy. And in the context in which the Spirit of God is addressing the Philippians, there was a situation that needed to be dealt with. And so the appeal that's being made is, be careful. Come to this situation with an empathetic spirit, considering also yourself, lest you likewise be tempted. Here's a principle that every parent needs to hold on to, a sweet reasonableness. May it mark us, and especially those who are in positions of spiritual authority. May we with sensitive hearts move forward. Paul is encouraging Iodius and Syntyche to get along. He's encouraging his true yoke fellow to get involved. He's assuring the Philippian people that their joy will not be impacted by the circumstance that they're going through, so be reasonable. Conduct yourself with sweet reasonableness. Now remember I said you might find yourself surprised by some of the stepping stones along the pathway that leads to peace. But I trust you'll be more than surprised, you'll be convicted by them. If you're here this morning and you're finding yourself having a difficult time with your spiritual stability, realizing that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, then follow along with me. Stability along the pathway of peace begins with respect. It continues with rejoicing. It's maintained by a reasonable spirit. And stability along the pathway of peace, it belongs to those who are resting in the Lord. Verse 6, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Those who obey the prohibition against anxiety that's provided here are given a prescription to follow with prayer and supplication alongside of thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known unto God with the wonderful hope that's been provided. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, verse 7, will keep, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Friend, you don't have the capacity to keep your heart, but the one who keeps you and will continue in that work until the day of his appearing has the capacity to take your anxieties and your cares when you bring those to him in prayer. And when you bring them alongside thanksgiving, he will keep your heart. He is the one in whom we rest. So Philippians chapter 4, the first command begins with that word, so. So, in this manner, here's how you stand fast in the Lord. You stand fast in the Lord by fostering mutual respect. You stand fast in the Lord by rejoicing in the Lord and when circumstances are difficult. You stand fast in the Lord even then by demonstrating a sweet reasonableness, by placing your anxieties in the hands of the one who will cause our hearts to rest. And with all this in mind, we come to what verse 8 says is finally, brethren. You know what finally means when you see it in Scripture? It means I'm coming to the conclusion. Unlike when a pastor says finally, which may mean exactly nothing, the Spirit of God is here saying, finally, pay careful attention. Pay careful attention to this. Then in verse 7, those who release their anxieties to the Lord can know the peace that passes understanding. And in verse 9, those who follow this pathway, he says, will know the God of peace. There's a peace that passes understanding that's given to us by the God of peace. And the God of peace will be with you. There's joy that can be found by knowing spiritual stability. So stand fast. And when we ask how, the Spirit of God says, well, the pathway of peace is found by right thinking. It's found by right thinking. Let's read verses 8 and 9 aloud together. I know I read them at the outset, but let's seal these verses into our memories this morning as we read together Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8 and then to verse 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Years ago, a plastic surgeon by the name of Maxwell Maltz wrote a now famous book entitled Psycho-Cybernetics. In the book, he recounted his experience with patients who had had radical transforming surgeries, specifically plastic surgery that changed the appearance of their faces. He discusses in the book the way the mind, often of these who now looked so radically different, how the mind did not keep up with the surgeon's skills, that the self-image of the person who'd had the radical surgery had not changed. And so he observes in his book that the mind has tremendous power. In fact, the mind can have controlling power. He notes that it's not enough for the patient to have a physical change with a surgery. They needed to have a new mental picture of themselves. And if the mental picture of themselves didn't change, the patient, though surgically changed, would remain miserable. Maltz didn't know it, but he is simply echoing what the book of Proverbs has to say. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, computer geeks tend to say, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. You see, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Jonathan Edwards said, the ideas and images in man's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern him. And there are some who come to the Scriptures with a man-made interpretation. It first came along through a man by the name of Norman Vincent Peale, that we can change everything round about us through the power of positive thinking. That idea that morphed from Norman Vincent Peale through Robert Schuller and today is found in the pulpit where Joel Osteen preaches, really doesn't have anything to do with the positives that are spoken of here in this passage. We're not given control of our own destinies by the power of our minds. The God that we serve is still sovereign, and yet he wants to do a work in our minds. And so we read in verse 8, think on these things. Logosomai. The word logic is in it. It means to meditate, ponder, weigh, consider carefully. What is it then that the Spirit of God wants me to think about? Well, six things are spoken of here that ought to be the meditation of the hearts of the believers. First, we are commissioned to think on those things that are true. Believers are to fill their minds with truth. That's the opposite of that which is false. Ultimate truth, of course, is found in the person and in the revelation that God gives to us. John 3 and verse 33, God is true. The revelation of God's word is true. Sanctify them by thy truth, John 17 and verse 17. Thy word is truth. Ultimately, when the believer wants to know what is truth, God is truth and his revelation is truth. Ultimate truth is found in the person of God and in the revelation of God. Now, living in this postmodern world, We're being taught that truth is relative. But our God has declared in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no truth in them. So you have a choice that you have to make every day. You will either fill your mind with falsehoods and with fantasies and with fables, or you'll fill your mind with the facts of faith that are found in God's Word. And Romans 3 and verse 4 says, let God be true, can you finish it with me? And every man a liar. Friend, we live in a world that's filled with lies. Lies like this. There are no gender binaries. There are no boundaries in love. Love is love. Lies like this. A baby is not a human being until some parent declares it so. Lies like this. What is true for you may not be true for me. We need to respect experience over logic and culture over objective data. The world says man is the result of an evolutionary process. God did not create us. There's no universal authority to which we'll have to give answer. We live in a world filled with lies. But the Word of God is filled with truth. And the truth of God's Word says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the truth of God's Word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Word of God says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Word of God contains this wonderful truth, this wonderful promise that Jesus has given. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. The Word of God assures our hearts, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things richly to enjoy? The Word of God contains truth. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So you have a choice. And the choice that you make is you'll either receive the truth of God's revelation or you'll receive the lies of the world. So, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Now, the word honest here has a broader understanding than simply being compared to that which is truthful. It carries the idea of whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are noble. It's the same word that's used in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8, and again in verse 11, to speak of the deacons and their wives. They're spoken of there as being grave or honorable. The Spirit of God is here saying we ought to fill our minds with that which is worthy of respect. We ought to fill our minds with that which brings the approval of God. We ought to be asking ourselves always this question, how would I feel if my thoughts were revealed for others to review right now? I don't know who calculates these things, but it's estimated that we think some 10,000 thoughts every day. Sometimes I feel like I've thought 10,000 thoughts in a second. Sometimes I felt like I've gotten through the end of a day and not thought one thought. But they estimate some 10,000 thoughts every day. That means we think some 3.5 million thoughts a year, and by the age of 75, some 26 million individual different separated thoughts. So today, by the time you came to this service, you'd already thought some 2,000 thoughts. You've got another 8,000 before you retire this evening. Some of you right now are thinking, Pastor, when will this message be over? Hey, friend, that's not a very honorable thought. The word honorable here means noble. Betty Sicoli very practically observed that two thoughts cannot occupy the mind at the same time. So the choice is ours, whether or not our thoughts will be instructive or destructive. Think about those things which are just, this passage says. Those are the things that we spend our lives cultivating. Those things that are just, we can spend our lives cultivating a righteous and godly mind, or we can spend our lives cultivating a criminal mind. There are some who think criminal thoughts and they sear their consciences. They push aside that which is righteous. God wants us to think righteous, Bible-centered thoughts. Think on those things which are pure. If your mind is living in the gutter, you should not be surprised if it becomes slimy. The Spirit of God says you need to gird up the loins of your mind, focusing then on what is pure. And folks, we are living in a world that is bilge pumping filth into minds that are vulnerable every day. It may come through a television. It may come through a radio. It may come through a conversation overheard at work. It may come through the internet. But all the time, impurity round about us, it seems everywhere. Oh, be careful. Be well advised. There are those in this room who need to hear from this pulpit this morning. If you're going to have a pure mind, you need to be disconnected altogether from the internet. And every parent in this room this morning needs to hear carefully as we look at this passage. If you're going to have children that grow up with a spirit of holiness, you need to be very careful how they use the internet and never give them an opportunity to be unsupervised and thus be soiled. We are to be thinking thoughts that are pure. We're to be thinking thoughts that are lovely. This is the only time in all of the New Testament that this word lovely is used. It means pleasing. It means orderly. We live in a cacophonous world. If you're listening to the music of the world, you're often listening to that which is disordered. If you're listening to the messages of the world, you're listening to messages that are confusing. But we're called upon to think upon those things which are lovely, those things that are orderly, and those things that are of a good report. This means the opposite of that which could easily be criticized. Believers are not to fill their minds with filth and criticism and caustic conversations. And after sharing these six things that we're to meditate on, the Spirit of God gives two overarching directives. You see them there? We're to meditate on those things which are virtuous. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then meditate, think on these things. And some of us cry out in frustration, how can I do it? John Wesley ever so practically said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep that bird from nesting in your hair. Don't abandon your responsibility because of your frustrations. Get earnest with God. If you're going to be a stable Christian, you need to understand the prayer of the psalmist and pray it often. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, each of us has a choice. God has given to us a choice. You will either hear the voice of the world or you will hear the voice of the Word. You'll either be led aside by devilish spirits or you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. And those who fill their minds with God's Word, who discipline their minds to follow after the Lord, have this wonderful promise in verse 9. You'll have the power to live out those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen. You'll be doing them. And the God of peace will be with you. It was Frank Outlaw who wisely said, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Your thoughts will lead you down pathways that you ought not to go. Somebody said there was a sign posted in Canada a number of years ago by a long dirt road, and the sign said, take care which rut you choose. You'll be in it a long time. When your mind develops ruts and lives out those ruts with words and actions and habits and a character is developed, be careful. This passage does not say whatsoever things are false, whatsoever things are dishonorable, whatsoever things are unjust, whatsoever things are impure, whatsoever things are disorderly, whatsoever things are critical, think on these things. It may be for someone in this room this morning time to change channels. So, stand fast in the Lord. How? What is it that causes my spiritual journey to be so ajar? Why do I find myself up and down and sometimes more down than up? Why do I find myself so anxious in thought and so filled with doubt? Well, friend, you need to be fostering You need to be fostering a mutual respect and understanding within this body. There are those whose names are written in the book of life. You need to be rejoicing in the Lord always, even when circumstances are difficult for you to understand. Our rejoicing is not in our circumstances, it's in the Lord. You need to be demonstrating a sweet reasonableness, an approachability of patience that allows others into your intimate zone without fear. You need to be prayerfully placing your anxieties in the Lord's hands and then practicing right thinking. Why? So that the God of peace can be with you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning, and I trust that you'll ask the God of peace to be with you. And as you review these things, not only this morning, but throughout the week, is there a place where you're vulnerable? Is there a conviction that the Spirit of God is bringing into your heart? Are you saying this morning, Pastor, I think I see it. I really do have some issues with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And frankly, my heart is not filled with respect. I've allowed the circumstances to be so obvious that I've failed to remember that my rejoicing is in the Savior. And I haven't run to Him. I don't believe I've been living a life of sweet reasonableness. I've been holding on to my anxieties instead of trusting and resting in His care. And I haven't been practicing right thinking. Let me offer you a quiz this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one looking around. If you're looking for a life of spiritual stability and seeking to guard your thoughts and you're honest about it this morning, would you take this quiz in the quietness of this moment, asking the Spirit of God to convict your heart? So you want to know peace and stability? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of movies are you watching? What kind of books are you reading? What kind of shows are you watching on TV? What kind of conversations are you having at work? What kind of secret habits are weighing you down? What kind of internet sites are you frequenting? 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says the Lord wants to take captive every thought. You would take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ.